part of TheFinCider.com and the SB Nation Network.
And now,
your host, Matthew Cannata, joined by co-hosts Josh Houts and Aaron Sutton.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to FinCider Radio. This is Matt Cannata, joined by Josh Houts and Aaron Sutton. And today, in this bonus episode, we are joined by Kent Platty, a contributor of Pride of Detroit, part of the SB Nation Network. You can find him on Twitter at MathBomb. Yes, math as in 5 plus 2 equals 7, or 2 plus 3 equals 5, or yes, even 4 plus 2 equals 6, or 4 minus 2 equals 2, or the Dolphins record at 4-2 facing the 2-3 Detroit Lions this coming Sunday at Hard Rock Stadium. The Miami Dolphins coming off a huge win against the Chicago Bears in overtime with Brock Osweiler leading the way. They're getting ready to Brock and roll this coming Sunday. The Detroit Lions coming off a bye week. 2-3 to start this NFL season. Embarrassing loss to the Jets week 1. Close loss to the 49ers week 2. Beat the Patriots week 3. Close loss to the Cowboys week 4. And then beat the Packers week 5. Kent, what is going on with the Lions? Why are they knocking off teams like the Patriots and Packers, but they're losing to teams like the Cowboys, the 49ers, and the Jets? What's up here?
Oh, I'd like to think that they're just only really planning for the good teams. Like they're just looking right past the bad teams and it's biting them. But ultimately it's came down to game planning, and they've just had a far better game plan in the two games that they've won that they stuck to and they were able to continue with. And they were able to execute well. And then in the other games, they just didn't. They came out flat. The third quarter has been killing the team. I don't want to even look at what the actual score differential is in the third quarter, but it's bad. But the team, it comes out of the second half and they just don't have anything going. But when they do, you know, they shut down Tom Brady. They shut down Aaron Rodgers.
Matt Patricia, new head coach. I liked him in New England. There were rumblings about him. You know, he didn't have full control of the defense over there. It was mainly Belichick running the show. But all accounts that Patricia is a very, very smart guy. And I know during the beginning of this season, there were rumors and stories and whisperings that Patricia didn't have full control over the Lions locker room. But it seems that after their winning against the Patriots, they released that video afterwards, and he seems beloved by the Lions players. Is Matt Patricia, you know, it's 5 games in, it's hard to tell this early in the season, but does Matt Patricia seem to have these Lions on the right track?
I think so. He's a very different head coach than Jim Caldwell, who was his predecessor. Caldwell was much more, you know, rah-rah, get the players behind you, you know, oh, well, we stuck it out for a win and we were tough in the losses. Patricia's much more hard on the players, and I think that rubbed some players the wrong way, which is where I think those rumors originally came from. I don't think it was a whole locker room concern. I think it was just a couple of players that had probably spoken up about the practices. His practices ran longer. They were much harder. There was a lot more hustle during the practices, a lot more going on. And I think that's just where that stuff came from. But he's very different with the way that he handles both the offense and the defense. I don't think he has anything to do with the offense at all. There were plays against the Packers and the Cowboys before them where he had his back turned away from the field talking to the defense while the offense was actually out there running. So I don't think he has anything to do with the offense. The defense, he's got a pretty good handle on, but from a fan perspective, it's impossible to keep up with what's going on. We've seen 5 different weeks of football and a different defense in each game.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, we're joined by Kent Platty at MathBomb. Kent, I'm glad that you were able to weather the blitzkrieg of math facts that Matthew dropped at the beginning of the show with 4 minus 2 equals 2. I'm sure you're really impressed to be joining us this evening. But just to piggyback on another blitzkrieg of sorts, and I was speaking of the trio of wide receivers that you guys have earlier in the week on our podcast and how they complement each other with an E, and a Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, Kenny Galladay. They're able to do a lot of different things. Have you seen anything at all in the tape that would help the Dolphins to slow these guys down at all?
Yeah, it's tough. The emergence of Kenny Galladay this season has made it really difficult to defend the team, because the overlooked guy in this offense so far this season has been Marvin Jones, but you can't overlook Marvin Jones. If he gets behind a cornerback, it's all over. Him and Stafford have a really good chemistry together. They didn't the first couple of weeks of the season. It was a little rough going, but you know, they had, I think it was the most 20 plus yard receiving catches last year with Marvin Jones and Matt Stafford. You know, he loves to go deep, and Stafford loves to go at him deep. And now with Kenny Golladay also able to do those things and picking up other pieces of the offense, it's really difficult to defend him. But the big problem is going to be Golden Tate. One thing that the Jets were able to do very well and that the other teams that they've beaten haven't is getting rid of Golden Tate on third downs. The Lions love targeting Golden Tate. They used to love targeting their tight ends. Now they have nobody at tight end. But they love going at Golden Tate on third downs. They love going at him later in the games. And he is so difficult because most of the time he's already open. He's either coming schemed open because they're giving him those bubble screens or, you know, those short crosser routes. But, you know, the moment he gets the ball in his hands, he's a problem. And if the Dolphins figure out a way to keep Tate out of it, then they just got to keep their safeties back.
Certainly not the most sexy conversation, but more often than not, football games are controlled at the line of scrimmage. And the two games that I watched y'all play were against the Packers and Patriots, where I felt that you guys really controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. I saw earlier in the day that Ziggy Ansah is going to be out. So how do you see on Sunday, how do you see the trenches playing out? Do you think Detroit is able to win either of those matchups and is able to kind of dominate the line of scrimmage and pull out a win that way?
The Lions hired Bob Quinn a few years ago as their new general manager, and it was very clear early on that fixing the offensive line was going to be his focus. One of the main reasons that Jim Caldwell is gone, despite having a winning record, was that he couldn't figure out the run game at all. He was completely inept in coaching a run game. The Lions were worst in the league, I think, two out of the last 3 years that Caldwell was here. They've never been in the top 16 under Caldwell. It was just awful watching them. And then the pass protection started to break down. This year, compared to last year, is completely night and day. And some of it could just be health because they've been relatively healthy with the exception of TJ Lang. But the Lions are one of the least sacked teams in the NFL. They have one of the better rushing, or efficiency-wise anyway, one of the better rushing teams in the NFL. Their offensive line has been getting a lot of really good stuff done, and it's every position on that offensive line except for right guard because TJ Lang has been hurt. It sounds like he'll be back. On the defensive line, it's almost entirely scheme, and it's really hard to go into detail without going game by game, but the defensive line has been mauled in the run game. The biggest part of their losses has been just getting crushed in the run game. And a lot of that has to do with their interior defensive line just not being able to get push. But they've been doing a lot of really interesting stuff with their coverage schemes. The reason they were able to shut down Aaron Rodgers like they did was that they didn't rush the passer, which is the most, like, who does that in today's NFL where the game plan is, okay, I don't want you to go after the quarterback, right? But they just stayed on the edges, and they set the edges and kept a pocket for Aaron Rodgers so that if he had to walk to step anywhere, he had to step up. And the only times that he really burned the Lions defense was when he was able to get out of the pocket when something broke down. But they just kept on the outside. I don't think they're going to do that in this game because they're facing Brock Osweiler. And you could refresh my memory, but I'm pretty sure he's not super mobile, right?
Sorry, my mic was on mute there. Yes.
No worries. I was hoping you weren't trying to figure out whether he was.
No, my mic was on. I was talking, but it wasn't going through.
Yeah, Osweiler is not a very mobile guy. So I don't expect that to be the way that the Lions attack the Dolphins defense. Most of the guys that they've went against, with the exception of Brady, have been fairly mobile. And I'm not sure what they're going to do from a defensive line standpoint. I feel like they're going to be going almost entirely against the run, just trying to keep the run shut down and then dropping everybody in coverage. You're going to see a lot of three-man rushes, I think, in this one.
Kent Houts here. I mean, you just touched on basically the defensive scheme of what the Detroit Lions may throw at the Dolphins. We know that run defense isn't quite lived up to their standards throughout these first few weeks of the season. You got the backfield, you got Kenyon Drake, you got Frank Gore, who's playing like, he's got the Benjamin Button disease. He just seems to get younger as the years progress. He's going out there and just making things happen every time he touches a football. We talked about the trenches. What do you fear most? You know, what should the Lions be looking at most? Is it the Dolphins receivers? You got Danny Amendola, you know, the Albert Wilson, Kenny Stills, you got the speed. I mean, your secondary is pretty good. So is that a concern? I mean, you mentioned Brock Osweiler. He's a guy who, I mean, he looked pretty good last week, but we know Brock Osweiler is what he is, and at some point he's going to come back down to reality. We kind of hope it isn't this week against Detroit, but are they going into this game more concerned about Kenyon Drake and Frank Gore and kind of going to go out there and say, you know what, let's let Brock Osweiler beat him, or how do you think Detroit's going to attack the Dolphins' offense?
I feel like they're definitely going to be trying to make Osweiler beat him. And my biggest concern is going to be speed. The Lions only really have Darius Slay with speed in their secondary. Their secondary is not very fast, and they've relied on a lot of man concepts this year, way more so than any other year. They've relied on a lot of man coverage to beat their opponents. They just lost their starting nickelback, Jamal Agnew, who's also their punt returner. He's an all-pro punt returner last year. They lost him to an ACL tear last week or the week before last. They've struggled when it came to faster guys when they have to rely on their depth cornerbacks, and that's what they're going to be doing. Tease Tabor was a second-round pick last year. He's been a pretty big disappointment for Lions fans. He hasn't been able to do much. Speed has always been a concern with him. He ran a 4.62, I believe, at the combine, even worse at his pro day. It was like a 4.74 or something like that at his pro day. But he's got a lot of speed issues, and it's shown up on tape whenever he's trying to run with a guy. If he's got a guy in front of him and he's playing zone and he's trying to break on a ball, he's a little bit better. But when he's trying to run with a guy, it's not great. And I could name off some of the other guys they have in their secondary that are their corners anyway, but they're all extreme low depth guys that weren't even on teams a couple of weeks ago. Their safeties are pretty good, but that, you know, when you're relying on your safeties with guys that have speed, you know, you usually play in catch up at that point. And that's going to be the concern to me. I'm not as concerned about Albert Wilson. I know he's a great yak receiver. The Lions tackling in their secondary has been really good. I don't think they're going to do what they did the last couple of weeks where they had their linebackers trying to cover the receivers in space. They did that more because they had quarterbacks that could run. So they would play like a spy role and then cover a receiver that was crossing. I don't think they're going to do that this week. But I am a little bit concerned about guys that can go deep because they just don't have the speed to keep up with them outside of Slay.
One more question before I throw it back to Matt. We're going to flip back over to the offensive side of the football. Jim Bob Cooter, he's one of the – everyone seems to love the guy. I mean, offense coordinator that's just talked about more so for his name than maybe his play calling. But when you look at this matchup, I mean, Kerryon Johnson's finally starting to, you know, give the Detroit a running back that they can rely on. You got LeGarrette Blount, who's kind of the thunder to Johnson's lightning. Then you look at those receivers that you touched on a bit. Kenny Golladay, he should be matched up, you know, with Xavier Howard. You got – Marvin Jones, who should be going up against Bobby McCain, who it looks like he's playing. And then as one person on Twitter referenced and called it, Golden Tate versus Minka Fitzpatrick is almost like football porn. So, you know, when you look at that, you see the receivers going up against Miami's good secondary. You see Miami's pretty solid run defense going up against your interior offensive line, who seems to be doing a pretty good job this season. How do you see the Lions attacking that defense? Do you think they're going to, you know, try to get the run game going early and then kind of mix in the play action and find those receivers on the outside? Or do you think they're just going to spread it out and go right at the Dolphins defense?
Normally they'd probably try to spread it out, but they've had issues with Theo Riddick being injured recently. And that kind of limits what they can do from a pass protection and a route running perspective from their backfield. You know, Theo Riddick's one of the best. I think he might even be the best rated by PFF right now, pass blocking running back in the NFL. He's one of the best, if not the best. And that's been that way for years. So they use him a lot in passing situations because he can be that extra blocker and then run routes. And he's just a monster on arrow routes and those inside routes and option routes, anything. Theo Riddick's a lot of fun. But without him in the backfield, they don't really have that. And they don't have that additional pass blocker that they can rely on. So I feel like they're going to rely a lot more on the run. They're going to run to the left, I think, a lot. Even with TJ Lang probably coming back, I feel that they're going to rely on the left side of that line. Taylor Decker has been phenomenal this season. Frank Ragnow started off pretty rough the first couple of weeks, but since then he's been awesome. Graham Glasgow is having a career year this year at center. The left side of that line is much more intimidating than the right side of the line, which has a banged up TJ Lang. And then Rick Wagner, who's really good, but mostly known for being a pass blocker than a run blocker. So the offensive line is going to be where they're going to be pushing their biggest strength. And they're probably going to run a lot more than they have. Hopefully they give the ball more to Kerryon Johnson than they have been recently. It's been a big pain point for Lions fans that they're not giving him the ball more. But hopefully that's not the case and they give him the ball, you know, 15 or so times and get the game going.
We're joined here by Kent Platy of Pride of Detroit, part of the SB Nation Network. Now, Kent, before we go into the prediction, let's say, or game flow of Sunday's game, you have been predicting another thing in sort of a way with relative athletic scores. Can you just give us a quick overview on that and how, you know, our listeners can get into that?
Sure. Relative athletic scores is a metric that I developed that looks at all player measurements from 1987 all the way back to 1987 to today. It compares those measurements against all players at that position from that time period, and it develops a 0 to 10 score. Anybody can understand 0 to 10. 0 is bad, 10 is great. And then it creates a composite score based on that, which is the actual relative athletic score. I've used that to do some predictive stuff with the draft. Teams tend to pick players with higher scores earlier in the draft. Big surprise, teams love the best athletes in the draft. I know that's shocking to everyone. But it's also done a really good job of looking back at people with 10-plus sacks, you know, pass rushers. It's done a really good job of predicting those sorts of things. And I'm really excited to move forward with it. We launched a new Java-based application this year. You can get it at relativeathleticscores.com. It's free. There's no cost to it. It'll always be free. I'm developing a mobile application for it as well. It currently only works on Windows. I'm working on getting it on Mac as well. But you can go download it right now. I'll have another update for it in the next week or so. But I'm excited to keep pushing that forward.
You can check it out on the website and also his Twitter page at MathBomb. So, Kent, let's get to it. How do you see the game flow going at Hard Rock Stadium when the Lions take on the Dolphins?
I think the Lions are going to come out, just like you said, running early and trying to establish a lead. If they can establish a lead in the first and second quarter, at least a two-possession lead, I think the Lions have the best chance of winning this. If they're going into the half and they're tied and they're trying to make adjustments going into the third quarter, I think it's going to be a much closer game and the Finns are going to have a much better chance at pulling one out. I don't think it's going to be a huge offensive game. I think the stats might look that way. But that's either going to be because one team or the other has already got a pretty big lead. You know how teams start to go when they get desperate. I'm still predicting a Lions victory right now. I think the Lions are riding pretty high coming into this, and they've had a good chance to get healthy for the most part. I don't know how much they'll win by. I'm hoping, obviously, it's going to be a huge blowout, and all my fans are going to be happy. but they've been taking their foot off the gas a little bit in the second half when they're leading. So, excuse me. I'm more predicting a one, maybe a two-score win for the Lions. If the Finns end up winning, it's probably going to be a close game, just like the Cowboys game, where they lead the entire game and there's not a lot of lead changes.
Yep, you mentioned Kerryon Johnson previously. With Theo Riddick out, it might be time to unleash Johnson. He's looked good in the action that he's seen this season, so we'll see if Matt Patricia unleashes him on Sunday versus the Dolphins. Kent Platy of Pride of Detroit, a part of the SB Nation Network, again, Twitter, at MathBomb, relativeathleticscores.com. Kent, thank you for joining us here on Finsider Radio.
Thank you guys for having me. Have a good one.
All right, take care.
That was Finsider Radio, part of the Finsider.com and the SB Nation Network.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, because we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one. Yes, we're the Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins. Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one. Yes, we're the Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one.
Hello, I'm Ashley Carmen.
I'm Caitlin Tiffany.
We're the hosts of Why'd You Push That Button, The Verge's show about all the choices technology forces us to make.
We're back for season 3, talking about questions like, why do you delete your tweets?
And why do you type in lowercase letters that make you seem like a serial killer?
And why are you on an exclusive dating app?
You're not that special. We're releasing a new episode every Wednesday, and you can find us anywhere you typically find podcasts, which is Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts. So go ahead and subscribe and check us out.